You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to the latest edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine, along with co-host Pat Traina of The Athletic and Inside Football. How you doing today, Patty?
Hanging in, Ed. It's the end of the week. Still have a lot of work to do. But it's been a long and wild week.
Yes, it has. And I think, Patty, as we look back at free agency and we look at the work that the Giants did, obviously it didn't all center around the offensive line, you know, but much of it did. So let's spend today focused on the offensive line and the reconstruction that the Giants have done so far. Your thoughts, you know, quickly on what we've seen so far in the changes in the line.
I really like what they're doing here, because if you look at the structure of the contracts and you look at the quality of the players they're bringing in, you're starting to get an idea of how the draft may shake out. You have in Nate Solder a guy who can conceivably be a starter for you for a good 4 years, which, you know, is the length of his contract. In Patrick Omame, you have a guy who is an upgrade over maybe what you had last year as your guards, and you now have some additional depth that will, you know, maybe give you a more of a push in that run blocking game, which was so soft at times last year. So I just kind of like the direction they're going in with that offensive line. I don't think they're finished. I do think that, you know, we might see more moves coming, although they've got to figure out where the heck they're going to get money in terms of the salary cap. I have some ideas that I'm going to write up for Big Blue View once I actually clear some of this stuff off my desk. But, you know, I think I'm very pleased with what he's done.
Hurry up, Patty, because we want that content at Big Blue View. So hurry up.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, Ed, you know, today was one of those days where I've just spent literally 4 hours, I want to say maybe 4+ hours on the phone with various people around the league. And now we're doing this podcast, and I'm praying to God my voice doesn't cut out on me.
You know, Patty, I'm with you in terms of, as you said, you know, the fact that you like what they've done so far. I do as well. I like the flexibility that they've created. You know, you've got your solid, you know, maybe not spectacular, maybe not all pro caliber left tackle in Nate Solder. And now what you also have is options, you know, pretty much at most of the positions across the board. You have the ability to go into the draft, you know, and do what you want. You know, and if you don't necessarily get, you know, what you're hoping to get, you know, you at least have some options and you have some players that you can turn to, you know, who are veteran experienced guys. Anyway, Patty, one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet is that I was able to talk to one of the folks today who I really like as an offensive line analyst, offensive line expert, and that would be Brandon Thorne of the Scouting Academy. I was able to actually tape an interview with him earlier. So what I would like to do is play that interview for you right now and offer some different perspective on what the Giants did on the offensive line. Giants fans, I am joined now by Brandon Thorne, football content manager at the Scouting Academy and an ardent student of offensive line play. With all of the moves that the Giants have made on their offensive line recently, thought it would be nice to talk to Brandon and get some expert opinion on what the Giants have done. So, Brandon, appreciate your taking some time to speak with me today.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, let's get right to it. Obviously, the biggest of the moves that the Giants made was to sign left tackle Nate Solder away from the New England Patriots. And we know that, you know, Solder is a good player and also a really good person. A little bit of his backstory. I'm sure that, you know, if people want that, they can read it at Big Blue View. We've got a couple of posts up about Solder today. Anyway, Brandon, why don't you tell us what you think about Solder as a player and what he brings to the Giants?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, when I look at Nate Solder, I see a guy who has ideal size for the position. You know, he's tall, he's big, 6'8", 325, you know, 35-plus inch arms. So he kind of fits, you know, the prototype in terms of size, you know, for the left tackle position. You know, he's 29, about to be 30, week one of 2018. So, you know, you look at his age and, you know, I still see a guy who has probably 4 or 5 years left at, you know, the level that he's playing at now. You know, he's entering year 8 of his career, has plenty of experience, not just general experience, but also experience in the playoffs, obviously, being in New England his whole career. You know, so that's valuable as well. But, you know, in terms of on the field, I see a guy who's probably an average, you know, starting left tackle. But in today's NFL, that's pretty valuable just because, you know, there's really a lack of quality offensive line play, specifically the further outside from the ball that you get, the tackle position being the primary thing I'm referencing there. So to get a guy who is dependable, who will give you, you know, average to above average play at times is extremely valuable, especially when, you know, you're coming off of a guy like Ereck Flowers, who, you know, you drafted, you know, top 10 and, you know, to play the left tackle position, who also is kind of a prototypical guy physically, but just doesn't have, you know, the necessary skill set, I think, to, you know, play the left tackle position and be on an island and pass protection. So it allows the offense to be more flexible, you know, because you got a guy left tackle now who you don't really have to worry about much. You know, against elite rushers, you definitely are going to have to figure something out to give him some help or, you know, make it a, you know, three-step drop type of situation. So you don't want him pass protecting for too long because I think, you know, pass protection against elite rushers is, you know, his weak spot. But other than that, I think you're getting just a pretty well-rounded, average, solid guy at left tackle. So, you know, and even if, you know, the Giants had to overpay for that a little bit, I think that, you know, just to solidify that position was pretty smart.
So that, of course, leads us to the Ereck Flowers discussion. Obviously, the Giants made it official that they will move Flowers to the right side, over to the right tackle spot. And interestingly, they said that they're not handing him that right tackle job. They're going to ask him to go over there and compete for that job. Now, you know, moving Flowers to right tackle was initially the plan, I think, when he was a rookie, and it didn't work out that way because of injury. There's been a lot of talk, you know, over the past couple of years about maybe Flowers could be better on the right side. Do you see Flowers as a better fit on the right side? Is this, you know, something where the Giants might be able to salvage him and get, you know, and get some decent production out of him on the other side of the line?
Well, I think nowadays, you know, in the modern NFL, when you're looking at left and right tackle, there's not as much difference as there used to be. You know, used to be more so the level of competition that the left and the right tackles faced was quite a bit different, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Now you have, you know, premier pass rushers on both sides. So the level of competition, you know, really won't change for him moving over to the right side. So we're still going to see, you know, a plethora of really good pass rushers over there. I do think one difference that could be there for moving from left to right is schematically, possibly getting more help over on that right side. And I think that would really help out Flowers in pass protection, you know, more than anything. But, you know, he's not going to become a better player over there just because he switches. I think that's a fallacy. You know, I don't see that happening. I think that's just a misnomer, you know, that, you know, some people think, yeah, moving to the right, it'll be easier. Well, with the level of competition not being downgraded over on that side, I think moving a guy over to right and him being quote unquote better is kind of gone. He's going to have to relearn a lot of playing offensive line because he's going to be switching sides and, you know, just utilizing a totally different side of his body now as the primary engine, you know, from start to finish in any given rep, you know, really using more of his left side now that he's on the right side, as opposed to being on the left side where you use more of the right side of your body. So he's going to have to really retool, which I think would be good for him, to kind of relearn, you know, technique, hand usage, pass sets. Everything's going to have to be relearned now to adjust to that right side. So from that standpoint, I do like the move. I think if you are going to salvage him, it will be on this side, specifically if, you know, Dave Gettleman has, you know, the sort of the same sort of influence that he did in Carolina where, you know, he had Mike Remmers and Darrell Williams as his right tackles, which were definitely run blockers first, bigger, stronger, you know, kind of that tough, nasty mentality on that right tackle and the left tackle, even though, you know, Kettleman did have, you know, Orr and, you know, Khalil, and, you know, I'm not crazy about the left tackles he did have, but there was a clear, I think, blueprint for what he wanted on that right tackle spot. And I think Flowers does fit into that mold a little bit more. So it makes sense. And I think if you are going to salvage Flowers' career, it could be on that right side. It just might take some time. And, you know, hopefully Pat Shurmur, you know, gives him a little bit more help, you know, as opposed to the left side, which if you look at the Vikings last year, you know, with Riley Reiff at left tackle, and Mike Remmers, you know, coincidentally at right tackle, you know, for the majority of the year, well, some of the year, and then they had others at right tackle. They did give them, it seemed like, more help from what I saw in terms of tight end help and schematic help. So if all that stuff comes together and Flowers has more of that protection on that side where he can learn and, you know, get the reps starting in training camp through the season, I think that, you know, he could potentially be a guy who could develop into somebody who's adequate, you know, because he hasn't even really been adequate up until this point in his career. So if you could even get that out of him, I think that would be a, you know, a win, even if it's short term.
Interesting. So, Brandon, let's talk a little bit about the other player that the Giants signed in free agency this week. And I have to admit, Patrick Omame is a player that I didn't know much about pretty much until the Giants signed him. So I know he comes out of Jacksonville. I think he's been there for 4 years. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what the Giants are getting here? They're paying him starter caliber money. I think they're paying him $15 million over 3 years. I may have that. I may not be 100% accurate on that. But they're paying him as a starter. Is that what the Giants are getting here?
You know, I think that they're getting a starter, probably a solid to average starting guard, which, you know, I mean, you know, they, it seems like free agency this year, you know, at offensive line guys are, you know, getting a little bit more money than they probably deserve based on their on-field play. And with him, I think that there's a little bit of an upside there because he has been pretty raw, you know, especially when he first came out of Michigan. And this is actually his fifth team, you know, since he's been in the NFL. So he was only with Jacksonville last year and Chicago, Tampa, San Francisco before that. So he's bounced around. And I think the primary reason for that is he was pretty raw, especially with his hand usage in terms of, you know, latching onto guys' frames and being able to sustain and control blocks, both in the run game and pass protection. You know, but last year in the scheme that he was in, what he was asked to do, you know, in sort of that power run scheme that the Jacksonville ran last season, I think that fits him really well. Because when I look at Omame, he's a guy who is big, physical, and has good play strength. And, you know, that fits into what Dave Gettleman has wanted from his guards. You know, when you look at Andrew Noel, Trey Turner, and then even, you know, Pat Shurmur and the type of stuff that he runs a, at least what he did last year in Minnesota was a very diverse, you know, blocking scheme and blocking concepts that he employed. So, If they can, you know, stick to more of sort of a power run game, I think that this would fit really well. You know, in terms of Omame being a starter that you can, you can build off of and possibly develop a little bit more, because I think he could still get better. Because even last year, I still considered him, you know, an average to below average starter, which, you know, isn't terrible by any means, but definitely somebody I think who could get better with more experience. And, you know, playing alongside a guy like Solder, you know, should, you know, go at least some, it should help him a little bit, at least in pass protection, in terms of having somebody like that to communicate with and bounce ideas off of and, you know, grow with. I think that that, you know, if he does play left guard, of course, that that can, you know, develop and he could develop into a solid starter, you know, with a little bit more consistency to his technique. But yeah, I mean, he's, I don't think it's a great signing, but I don't think it's a bad one either.
So, Brandon, the one thing that I think the Giants have done here in free agency is perhaps, you know, they haven't signed, you know, star players. They missed out on Andrew Norwell. But I think what they've done, you know, by and large across the board here is given themselves some options and some competition, you know, at different positions across the line. I don't think that, that the Giants have put themselves in a position where, you know, where offensive line would be off the board, you know, in the draft. And obviously everybody knows, you know, Quentin Nelson, you know, Notre Dame guard, is the prize in this draft. I don't know if the Giants would actually, you know, would actually go ahead and select him at number two. There's a healthy debate over whether a guard, you know, is value at that point. Let's go off the idea that the Giants would pass on Nelson at number two and would go into, you know, day two of the draft, you know, looking for some offensive line help. Just give me an idea, you know, two, three, four players you think they might target, you know, there in the second or third round.
Yeah, so a couple guys, you know, that come to mind, and I don't know if they're going to last till the second round, but the first two, you know, because when I look at the Giants' depth chart on offensive line right now, I still think that the biggest help for them would probably be inside, you know, getting another guard, somebody who would be, you know, better than, you know, even Omame, you know, day one. And I two guys that I think will be are Isaiah Wynn from Georgia and Will Hernandez from UTEP. And Will Hernandez is a guy, I think, who fits into the mold of what Dave Gettleman has looked for in his offensive guards. He's, you know, definitely a big, strong, hulking type of nasty finishing offensive lineman who's a run blocker first, still a good pass protector, but definitely a better run blocker. I think he would fit in perfectly into the Giants' offensive line, and definitely fits the mold of what, you know, the GM has looked for in the past. So Hernandez is the first name, really, that comes to mind. Isaiah Wynn is, you know, probably my second favorite offensive line prospect in the draft after Quentin Nelson. I think he's phenomenal. He could probably play four positions on the offensive line, but probably is best suited as a guard in the NFL, but could potentially play right tackle as well. So that's somebody, but I think he might be gone at the end of the first, so the Giants may have to move back into the first potentially to get somebody like him or Hernandez, I'm not sure. But I think their range is end of the first, early second. So those two guys for sure I think would be a huge help to the Giants. And then somebody, you know, who else I think of as well is Connor Williams from Texas, a guy who played left tackle very well in 2016. Didn't look so good in 2017 at left tackle, but also was battling injury. Somebody who I think ideally should start off at guard, you know, as a pro, but who could definitely, you know, either start out at tackle or eventually kick out to tackle. So it gives you that versatility that so many people, you know, covet on the offensive line. So, you know, if you wanted to look more at tackle help, but also somebody who could play multiple spots, I think Wynn and Williams both fit into that. Hernandez is more of a traditional guard. But those three names, I think, you know, are the first ones that come up, you know, to me for the Giants.
All right, Brandon, we could talk offensive line and Giants and NFL draft all day. But I think that we both probably have other things to do, so we'll end there. We really do appreciate your taking some time to chat with us, and
definitely.
Hopefully we'll get you back on and talk to you again maybe right before the draft. All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, Patty, some really nice insight there from Brandon Thorne. We appreciate his time. You can always check out his work at the Scouting Academy, sometimes also contributing to Inside the Pylon, and you can find Brandon at Veteran Scout on Twitter. Patty, before we call it a show, anything else that you wanted to add, you know, about the offensive line or about any of the signings, any of the press conferences, you know, with new Giants that have been held in the last couple of days?
Right now, no. It's the end of the week. A lot has gone down. I definitely want to go back and I want to digest a little bit more of this stuff, so that when we come back next week, we can you know, offer our listeners a little bit more of an informed opinion on stuff. But I would say, just on you know, a first glance, I really like the direction Gettleman has this team going.
Oh, I do as well, Patty. Obviously, we're not going to agree with every move. Every move that gets made isn't going to work out. Obviously, the Giants aren't going to get every player that they want, and as we've said in earlier shows, they're not going to fix every issue that they have. But one of the things we've seen this week is one of the things that we hoped to see, that the emphasis, that the direction has changed, that there's emphasis being placed on the offensive line and linebacker positions that haven't been adequately addressed in recent years, and those things, I think, are very good to see. They're very promising signs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, as we've been saying all along, there was no place to go but up for a team that went 3-13, and going into the free agency period, we all knew what they had to do. I mean, it wasn't a great secret. And, you know, Gettleman went, he did it. You know, you could disagree about the money, you could agree about the money, it's your preference, but I think, you know, and the proof will be in the pudding. You know, we can look at it on paper and talk about how good it looks all we want, but I'm very optimistic with the direction that Gettleman has put this team on for the coming year.
I am as well, Patty. And with that said, I think we will call it a show. We will be back with you again next week, Giants fans. And as always, we thank you for listening. Bye-bye now and have a safe weekend.